All righty. So, tonight we want to, this will kind of be, I guess you would say, a bit of a, looking at principle number 9 from a bit of a different way, kind of reinforcing some of his thoughts. But we want to talk on the idea of sowing and reaping, and this comes specifically from Galatians chapter 6. And so this is kind of the verse we'll be talking about, considering, and just spiritual truth that the Lord's trying to get across to us that can help us in a lot of different ways. And so it says, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. He that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. He that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not." Alright, so God wants us to understand spiritual things, and because he cares for us, he's not trying to hide things or anything like that. A lot of times what he'll do is he'll explain spiritual things, explain important life principles using terms that are familiar to us. And of course, we realize our society's changed a bit since Bible times. And so there's some things that we don't readily understand, but when we kind of think in terms of the lifestyle that they had, it makes sense. But we see in Galatians 6, 7 and 9 that God led the Apostle Paul to use basic principles of agriculture to help us understand the consequences of our action. And for us, being in kind of an agriculture hub, there's things that I think, even though, yes, we do it with big seeders and combines rather than with broadcasting and using scythes like they did in Bible times, we still understand what's going on. And so, as we consider these verses and we meditate on the principles found in them, it can help us in two different ways. It helps us understand how we got into our addiction in the first place, but it also gives us the key to getting out of that addiction as well. And so we want to consider that with these verses. So it starts out where it says, "Be not deceived." And so when we realize that, it's saying that because we have a tendency to be deceived. And so it's giving us a warning, helping us to realize that we sometimes can be deceived. And so the thing is we can be deceived. Sometimes it's by outside sources. Sometimes we know that the devil is a deceiver. He's always trying to convince us of things that aren't true. But of course, sometimes he uses different people that will say something to us. We have those different people that are, we look at them at different times in our life as our buddies, that we hang out with them and we realize, okay, looking back, they weren't good friends in a lot of ways. They were partners in crime. They were kind of telling me this stuff because they wanted to have someone to get in trouble with them or someone to laugh at while they were kind of holding back kind of thing. And so we realize, okay, sometimes we have those outside sources, but sometimes we realize we deceive ourselves, where we convince ourselves, oh yeah, there's no big deal, this isn't going to be a problem, or it's like, I'm going to only go there and I'll leave if things get a little crazy, or it's like, well, I might have one or two, but I'll hold back. That won't have any more than that. That these are things we say to ourselves, and we deceive ourselves in those situations. And it's so often, one of the verses, of course, in with RU is, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And so we realize, if the truth makes us free, it's a lot of times lies and deceptions that bring us into bondage. And so we want to be aware of that. And we understand God knows fully the consequences, what the consequences are to each decision that we're going to make. And we know that he knows and wants what is best for us. He's not setting us up to fail. He doesn't want us to destroy our lives by bad decisions. And so because of that, because he loves us, because he knows what's best for us, he lays out in his Bibles specific commands and guiding principles for us to follow in life. And so a command is the idea of thou shalt not, where things that are really important, he makes it real plain to us. That just, this is something you don't want to do, this is something you do want to do. But then, sometimes there's different things where they're not necessarily a command, they're more of a principle. And it's like, okay, he gives me this principle, I can apply this to different situations and to figure out what I should do. And so, he gives those things for our benefit, for our help. But of course, we can be deceived into thinking that, oh, God's commands don't really matter, it just, nothing's going to happen if I do this. We get to think, well, I can disobey God's commands, I can ignore his principles, and there can be no consequences. And when we do that, essentially what we're doing is we're mocking God. They were saying, he's saying all this stuff and he's just trying to steal my fun away and nothing's going to happen. And we think that's exactly what the devil said to Adam and Eve in the garden, where God said, don't eat the tree, you're going to die if you do. And he said, oh, you won't surely die. God's actually trying to keep you from something good. And of course, they partook and they found out that the devil lied to them completely. And so we want to understand that we're not to be deceived, and God is not one that's going to be mocked. And we want to understand that sin always has terrible consequences. Some of them are short-term consequences, but a lot of them are long-term consequences. And those consequences are not just to ourselves, they affect others. And we think of that principle number 7, our sinful habits do hurt those that follow us. That we hurt ourselves, we hurt other people. And it has consequences, physically, mentally, emotionally, socially, spiritually. That there's different things that we can do that can damage our health. Some of it can damage ourselves, the way our minds work, and emotionally where we're at. Sometimes what we do damages our relationships with others. But of course, always when we sin, it damages our relationship with God. And so we want to understand that's never going to change. And so, the thing is too, is that when we begin to suffer negative consequences for sin, for doing what God said, don't do this, then we can sometimes be deceived into thinking that we're victims of bad luck. That it just, why did that cop show up on the side of the road at that time? It's like I was only speeding a little bit, and boy, if he hadn't stopped me, he wouldn't have found the stuff that was in the back. And it's like, I was just upset at this cop. And it's like, well, wait a minute, if you weren't speeding, weren't having the stuff in the back, there wouldn't have been anything. In a way, it's God's helping you, because it's like, if you're continuing down that road, you're going to actually probably get yourself in an accident and kill someone. So it's probably, you can thank the Lord that he sent this officer along to help you get on the right track again. And so we want to think of it. We're not, like, sometimes we think, oh, I'm just a victim. This is no fair. Why is this happening to me? Or sometimes we get thinking, oh, well, God is just, I stepped out of line and God is just punishing me. He's being cruel. He just kind of, he delights in just kind of making my life miserable because I didn't follow his laws. And really it's a completely wrong way of looking at it, because God is a just God, and if we've done wrong and we're being punished for it, it's just justice that's being served. And we realize with God so much times we want to realize how merciful he is, times we probably should have got caught and didn't. But the thing is when we suffer negative consequences, it's we brought it on ourselves because of our own bad decisions. It isn't someone else's fault. It isn't God's fault. It's my fault. And we have to recognize that what we are reaping is what we have sowed. And so if we want to change what we're reaping in life, then that means we need to change what we're sowing in life. That it's cause and effect. That an effect is being produced in our life based on what we have done in the past, decisions we've made. And so if I don't like this effect that's being produced, I need to change what I'm doing before. And the sooner we change, the better. So we want to understand now our options of what we can do and the choices we can make. And this is in terms kind of broadly speaking, of course. But first of all, in life, we can sow to the flesh by continually indulging our wrong desires. That whatever, it doesn't matter what God says, I'm just going to give into this because I want this. And what happens, in those situations, we commit acts of unrighteousness. And as we do so, we rapidly begin reaping corruption. And corruption we would identify as the deterioration of our health. And that occurs physically, emotionally, mentally, socially, and spiritually. That's what happens. When we sow to the flesh, we reap corruption. Something's going to give. That either physically we're going to start to suffer for it, mentally, emotionally, socially, spiritually. But it's something we want to understand too, that we can also sow to the flesh as we commit acts of self-righteousness. And this is something that we've talked about. It is better than just simply indulging in wrong desires, but it's not that much better. Because what happens is, when we're trying hard to do better in our own strength, the consequences might be less negative, but the results that are produced are still corrupt. That we think of that, instead of having joy in life, we instead have the production of frustration. Right? That we, instead of having peace, we have worry. Instead of being long-suffering, we're impatient. That these different things come, that we think, well, it's better than the fruits of unrighteousness, but it's not where we want to be. There's a corruption of that fruit. And what happens, it inevitably leads us back into self-indulgence. Because when we get frustrated, and we're in that mindset where we're stirred up, or we're worried about something, or we're doubting God, that's a lot of times when we will give into that craving for that thing that we were using before to help us when we were all unsettled. And so we want to be aware of that. That either way, it is going to reap corruption. But then it's the idea, if we're ever going to emerge from a life of bondage, corruption, and death, and instead enjoy a life of freedom and victory, what we need to do is sow to the Spirit. And what does it mean to sow to the Spirit? That means that we have a life that it is a life of faith, where we enter into and develop a relationship with God, that becomes the focal point of our life, and it gets to a point that we yield to the commands and principles of God as led and empowered by His Holy Spirit. That He is doing that work in us where we're yielding to His leadings, we're doing what God wants us to do, it isn't us trying to do it, the idea of self-righteousness, it's where God is living His righteousness through us. That's what we want. And as we sow to the Spirit, we shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And so that's what we want. That's what we want to get to. And that's what God is trying to push us towards. He doesn't want us to have a corrupt fruit produced in our lives. He actually talks about that to the disciple. He says, I've chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bear forth fruit and that your fruit should remain. Like, He wants us to be fruitful. And so that's how He's telling us. I want you to be fruitful, so I want you to sow to the Spirit now so that you can reap good things in time to come. So, for me, over time, I just want to consider essentially four principles of sowing and reaping. And these are things I think we can all recognize but it can certainly apply in dealing with the bad habit that we've established and then developing good habits. And so first principle is that we always reap what we sow. And pretty understandable that whatever we plant in the ground in the spring is going to be what comes up in the fall. That we can't plant wheat in a field and then expect, oh, I'm going to have a harvest of canola. Because if that could happen, I think, boy, farmers would be great. It'd be like, okay, I planted this, but the market's changed. I'm just going to flip a switch, and it's going to be this crop that comes up, and then I'll get good money. But that doesn't happen that way, right? That what you plant in spring, you're stuck with it. You're going to get that in the fall. And in the same way, we want to understand, sowing to the flesh always will bring a harvest of negative consequences. And sowing to the Spirit will always bring a harvest of positive consequences. And that's never going to change. It isn't something where you're going to be, like as Brother Rehoff talked about, you're not going to be the exception where you can sow bad things and good's going to come out of it. And so it's always going to be produced what you put in. And so if we want a different harvest, we need to sow different seed. And so that's in our daily life, just thinking, okay, if this is what I want to have produced in my life, then I have to start here today in planting different seed. Well, then principle number two, we always reap more than what we sow. And that's the thing, that the amount of grain that we sow in the spring is always dwarfed by the amount of grain that we harvest in the fall. Unless, of course, we have a really bad year where it's like a crop failure, right? And we had that a couple years ago where we had tons of rain, and it just, I remember my one guy I worked for where he wandered around the field with his combine all afternoon and could barely find any lentils worth harvesting. But most of the time, like in the course, if you have years like that year after year, you're not going to be farming much longer, right? Because just there's no point. You're always doing it because you want to get that great increase. You put in this amount of seed, but you get 4, 5, 6, 10 times what you put in. But we want to understand, when it comes to either sowing to the flesh or sowing to the Spirit, there are no crop failures. Isn't something, oh, I'm going to sow to the flesh, but I'm expecting that, oh, the crop won't come in and I'm not going to reap anything from this. No, you're going to reap something that's going to be a lot more than what you put in. And it's the same thing sowing to the Spirit. If you're doing it, there is going to be a result in the end. You can be sure of that. And it is going to be more than what you put in. And so it's the thing, little sins lead to big sins, and small compromises lead to great disasters. And sometimes where you're struggling, where you're getting defeated, giving in to temptation, indulgence, you know, why is this happening? Well, sometimes you realize, okay, there's this thing that I haven't been dealing with, this bad habit that I've developed that just kind of is like the, opens the door for this bigger problem to arise. And so we realize that these small compromises that we make, they can lead us eventually to great disasters. But on the positive side, we want to realize good decisions that we make, they can lead to great blessings, and it can start really small. Just maybe changing just different things in terms of our schedule during the day or other things like that, where I'm starting to make this change, this positive change, and then it might be a while, but we realize, wow, this is really helping. I'm in such a better position. I never thought that little change that I made would have made such a difference. But we find that, that's what can happen. But then, principle number three, the more we sow, the more we reap. Again, this is not complicated, but it's something when we're applying it to principles of dealing with addictions, finding victory, I think it's important. And it says, 2 Corinthians 9:6, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. And we understand that. that farmers, they don't just put in just kind of, they don't skimp on the seed that they're putting in the ground, right? They want to get as much in there as really the plot will allow. That they have to have at least some spacing to make sure that they aren't, the stuff isn't choking each other out. But you don't see farmers trying to put as little seed in the ground as possible. They put as much in the ground as they can get. And we want to understand that in what we're doing. If we're wanting to have a harvest, we want to put in sow as much as we can. And so it's the thing, the more we're able to minimize sowing to the flesh and maximize sowing to the spirit, the more desirable the harvest we will reap. And so it's kind of the thing, is like there's different things that we do, and especially with like the program that we have where it's learning different things of prayer and Bible study, meditation, time with God teaches other things that we think, well, doing these different things, doing these challenges, what difference is this going to make, right? But we realize, yes, there will be, and it's always a multiplication of what we sow is going to be increased. And so it's like the more that we do of these little things, the greater will be the end result. And so if that's the thing, we got to work against our flesh, because our flesh is always kind of, well, just kind of do the bare minimum to get by. And whereas it says, no, I want to have as fruitful of a life as possible in good things, so I'm going to, that'll inspire me to do more. And it's kind of the thing is that, as well for the negative, is that we're thinking, okay, the more I sow, the more I reap. The less I sow, the less I'll reap. And so when it comes to these bad habits and these other things, the more I can pull them out of my life, the less I'm going to have these weeds that come up that are going to choke out my fruitfulness later on in life. And then finally, we always reap later than we sow. And Brother Rioff spoke of this, of the aspect of time. That we don't experience the full results of the choice we make right away. Time must pass to fully see what the consequences of those choices are. And we realize that we have to understand and really have faith in what God says. If God says this is a wrong thing to do, maybe there's not going to be consequences right away, but we're going to regret disobeying God's commands, right? But then if we obey it, we may not see the results right away, but it is going to be worth it in time. And so it's the thing, if we don't remember this when we're sowing to the flesh, we can wrongly think we've avoided the consequence. And that's a mistake that we make, that something happens and it's like nothing bad seems to happen right away, that there's kind of those pleasures of sin for a season that we think, oh yeah, this was great. There was no problem, I got away with this, what was I worried about? But then later on we find this thing I've become enslaved to it. This was a complete mistake, what I've done. And so it's kind of the thing, is like time makes such a difference, and you realize, yes, I did this in the past, and now I'm affected by it. Like I could look at it for myself in terms of like where I am in terms of my health and things that, like, I didn't go from being skinny to being what I am right now just overnight. That it was by me, okay, my metabolism changed, but my habits didn't, and I wasn't. And so now I'm realizing, okay, I've got to make changes now, that if I would have made them earlier, it would have been better. But it's the thing, is that knowing that, okay, I have to do that, but it's not, I didn't get this way overnight. I'm not going to not be this way overnight either. And so it's going to take time. And so that's the thing, if we're sowing the Spirit, if we're trying to do what's right, But we forget that we reap later than we sow. We can get discouraged. We think, well, I'm tried and it doesn't make any difference. And so that would be like an example for me. It's like, okay, I want to lose weight, and you step on the scale after a week and you're more than what you were the week before. You're like, oh. And but you realize it takes time, and there needs to be consistency, right? And so, but that can be the tendency. If we forget that we reap later than we sow, we can get weary in well-doing. We think, what's the point? And then a lot of times when we're dealing with bad habits, it's like we're trying to do right, we're making changes, but we don't see any results. We're still struggling, and we just think, well, what's the point? I might as well give up. But we don't want to give up, because if we stop sowing the good seed, we're still going to get a harvest of the good seed we've sown down the road, but that harvest is going to stop, right? We want to keep sowing. The more we sow, the more we're going to reap eventually. And so that's that last verse in that passage. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. And that's really when we're making progress in seeking the Lord and finding His victory that He gives from addiction, that we don't want to give up. That we are going to reap if we faint not. That God has something great for us down the road if we, by faith, continue to sow that good seed that He wants us to. And so it's learning that I'm going to be faithful. I'm not going to give up. If this is what God is leading me to do, I'm going to stick with it. I'm going to do these things, and it is going to make a tremendous difference. In my life and the life of those around me as I stick with it. Last thing, our destructive habits do not form overnight. We should not expect a recovery from them to happen overnight either. And so it says we learn to daily and consistently sow the Spirit. We will in time reap the harvest of life, freedom, victory, and joy. And so this one habit is being something as an encouragement to you that there's times where we make some progress, but then our progress isn't fast enough and we do kind of get discouraged, and that can be where we tend to want to fall back into the way we were before. And it just in those moments to realize, no, there will be a reaping that'll be a good harvest in time to come. And I want to look forward to that. I don't want to give up. I want to see that one day and see what God is going to do in my life as I'm faithful to what He wants me to do. So any thoughts or questions as we conclude? Oh, it's a hell of a sword.